This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a closer look at human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran. Iran was one of the first countries in the Middle East to allow women to study at university. And since the 1990s, more than 60% of Iran's university students have been women. But at the start of the new Iranian academic year this past September, the government began imposing restrictions on university students, and the most affected are women. More than 30 universities introduced new rules banning female students from almost nearly 80 different degree courses, from engineering, nuclear physics, and computer science, to English literature, archaeology, and business. The new rules also include quotas that limit the percentage of women students in certain fields of study, as well as segregation in classrooms and facilities. This means that many women will no longer be able to pursue the education and careers of their choice. Our guest today is Dr. Nayere Tohidi, professor of gender and women's studies at California State University, Northridge. She's also the research associate at the Center for Near Eastern Studies of UCLA, where she's been coordinating the bilingual lecture series on Iran since 2003. Dr. Tohidi, thank you for joining me today. Let's start by addressing what many call, quote, the Islamicization of Iran, which is what some are saying is behind these new policies limiting women's access to certain fields of study in the country's university system.
Although sex segregation has been, or gender segregation, has been a central aspect of the so-called Islamization process, but it has entailed a much broader ideological project aimed at imposition of a totalitarian ideology, a totalitarian system of thought and polity on all aspects of life, including education, informal as well as formal education, the media, print and electronic, schools and curricula, the law, the mosque, and religious rituals, sciences, arts, dress code, apparel and appearance, sexuality, marriage, morality, even the food we eat and the drinks we drink. Every aspect of life in both the public and private spheres have been target of becoming Islamicized.
Can you give me a bit more background on how these policies have historically affected those in higher education?
This political ideology and their advocates, whom we call Islamists, see the university and liberal arts and secular ideologies that are promoted in the universities through social sciences and humanities as their rival, as they're competing ideologically with them. So it is for this very reason that when Islamists took power, they, from the very beginning, they targeted the university and schools. Like immediately after they seized power, state power in Iran in 1979, the Islamists usurped the campus of the largest and most prestigious university in Iran, that is the University of Tehran, and turned the campus, the main quad of the university, into the national Friday sermon venue, Friday prayer venue. This was symbolically, as well as practically, the first big step they took to Islamicize the universities.
Now, women make up the majority of those attending university in Iran. 60% of them are women. Why are they deemed such a threat to those implementing these policies?
One of the reasons why Islamists perceive the university with a sort of hate and love, kind of ambivalence, and some actually have total resentment toward the universities, is because of the increasing number of female students. And the fact that women are outperforming and outnumbering men in many fields of studies.
So what do you believe is behind all of this?
The government and the state policies that have been trying to keep society sex segregated, gender segregated, and avoid as much as possible men and women mingling with each other in public sphere. And also trying to promote more traditional roles for women and to maintain and promote traditional family structure and traditional gender roles. This is very threatening because many women through education have become more empowered and also more independent and more capable to enter into employment and different, public arenas.
Recent Iranian parliament research has said that female enrollment is supposed to have negative consequences on family life. Is this a conservative backlash against female progress?
The argument that why they are doing this is that they are saying, yes, we are worried about the consequences of women outnumbering men in universities and women, outnumbering graduating and in different fields. They are saying that these have negative consequences for marriage. The conservatives are arguing that since women are becoming better educated or more powerful and more independent, they are not going to marry men who are less educated and or have less income, lower income than women. So this is endangering the traditional family structure, which was based on men being the primary breadwinner, the patriarch of the family, the decision maker, the one who should allow women whether she can have a passport or not, the one who should allow woman whether she can work outside the home or not. Now men are becoming weak. There is all sorts of now writings by the conservatives that how we have masculinity crisis, how the gender roles are changing. Men, this glorious warrior man, the aggressive and hegemonic, man, is turning into effeminate, emasculate, whipped, and weak.
Tell me about sex segregation in university.
Primary schools, secondary schools, all have been segregated, and they have succeeded in eliminating co-education altogether. But in higher education universities, they tried to have a special classes or segregated classes for female and male students in the universities, or when it was not possible, they tried to even put a curtain or a barrier between male students and female students in the same classrooms, so that they have female students sit on say the left row and male students on the right row and divide them by a curtain or a divider. But that was resisted by students and it didn't work much, and they kind of gave up that idea. Then they started enrolling students, like more female students, say, in fall semester and more male students in winter semester, so that they can keep the number different and they can also have, more male students in certain semesters and more female students. But that hasn't also worked much. And for a while, they stopped actually that segregation during the reform time under Khatami and so forth. But the idea of segregation has been always there.
Dr. Tohidi, let's talk about this policy of single gendering, which determines what fields of study women are allowed to pursue.
Initially, they had, in the beginning of the revolution, they banned certain fields to women. But later, After the reform, during the reform era, they opened all the fields, almost all the fields, to both genders. But recently, if you hear so much uproar about the recent development, is that they are now reviving this gender-based selection and admission of students, especially in the fields that are traditionally considered male fields, like engineering. Almost all fields of engineering, civil engineering, electrical engineering, mine engineering, computer sciences, and also in the fields of management, but also some fields that have been considered traditionally female, or like, for example, translation, interpretation, or say, let me think, some that even like carpet industry, you know, specializing in carpet industry, that has been always considered a feminine thing because women have been the majority of carpet weavers. But whatever that is more marketable and perhaps has more chance for employment, they're banning women from it, from lucrative jobs, so to speak.
Now, is this a universal policy across the country?
They have banned women from 77 fields in 36 universities. So it's not a universal policy yet, but a considerable number of universities, that is 36 of them, especially more prestigious universities in major cities.
Finally, how do you see these limitations for women in higher education reflected in the overall progress of women and the women's rights movement inside the country?
Women's achievement in education, in employment, even though it has been limited, and their participation in politics, in arts, literature, in filmmaking, and all these fields that are not traditional fields and have not been promoted by the government, have made the whole issue of modernity and gender roles rather complex and contradictory in Iran. So, in other words, there has been kind of a cat and mouse game between women and the conservative authorities. One step ahead, two step, you know, behind, and again, two step ahead, one step behind. It has been a kind of a zigzag process for women's achievement in Iran in different fields, not only in the realm of education. So the overall picture is not gloomy, is not sad and negative. The overall picture is complex, is full of signs of women's agency, of women's empowerment, despite all these barriers, but also lots of frustration and waste of energy that women have to spend in order to hold on to what they have gained, because there's continuous attempt to take back and regress, you know, rather than progress. That's why we have a very strong feminist movement in Iran, because of all these discrepancies and contradictions between the changing realities and the retrogressive policies of the state, especially under Ahmadinejad.
That was Dr. Nayeri Tohidi, professor of gender and women's studies at California State University, Northridge. That's all for this edition. For more news about human rights issues in Iran, visit our website at iranhumanrights.org. Join us next time for the Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening.